We don't know what this week will bring to us. Will one among us fall? Would one succumb to COVID? We don't know what this week will bring. Would someone get news? Your job is gone? I am saying, whatever it is, be assured that the God you worship, the God we serve, is not only God of the hills, but He is also God of the valleys. This morning, you may have imagined from the scripture reading the topic of the sermon. The title today is Hills or Valleys, He is Still God. Hills or Valleys, He is Still God. Afterward, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said, strengthen your position and see what must be done. Because next spring, the king of Aram will attack you again. Meanwhile, the officials of the king of Aram advise him, take their gods are gods of the hills. That is why they were strong for us. But if we fight them on the plains, surely we will be stronger than they. Do this. Remove all the kings from their commands and replace them with other officers. You must also raise an army like the one you lost, horse for horse, and a chariot for chariot, so we can fight Israel on the plains. Then surely we will be stronger than they. He agreed with them and acted accordingly. The next spring, Ben-Hadad mustered the Arameans and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. When the Israelites were also mustered and given provisions, they marched out to meet them. The Israelites camped opposite them like two small flocks of goats, while the Arameans covered the countryside. The man of God came up and told the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says. Because the Arameans think the Lord is God of the hills and not a God of the valleys, I will deliver this vast army into your hands, and you will know, and you will know, let me say that again as if I did not say it before, and you will know that I am the Lord. You will know. Father in heaven, we ask and pray that you will come now and open our understanding so that we may know what you're trying to teach us today. In the name of Jesus, let the saints all say amen. You will remember that the scripture reading began with the word afterwards. Afterwards tells us that something went on before. So let me give the backdrop. Ahab, the king, this is the same Ahab who was married to Jezebel, was not doing right by God. involved in idol worship, disobeying the commands of God. And then the Arameans, which is really another name for Syria, the king of Syria sent a message to Ahab and said to him, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I want your choice young men and your women. I'm going to come and get them. And Ahab was afraid, and he sent word back saying, that's okay, you can come and get them. Then the word came again, not only I want your choice young men and the women, but I want anything that I could see and take and have, I will do. I will send my men tomorrow to get it. At this time, some prophets came to Ahab, and they said to Ahab, Ahab, you should have answered him in the negative, the first request. But because you didn't, he's now asking another request, and we can't let this happen. And the prophet said, well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to fight. We're not going to allow this to happen. And so Ahab sent message back to the king of Syria. And he said, you can't do that. And the Bible says that they came, the king of Syria with his army, and they positioned themselves to fight. And when they came to fight, the king of Syria and his soldiers, his officers, they were drinking and they were drunk. And they gave a command, the army that is coming towards you, when you see them, take them alive. And if they surrender, still take them alive. He was confused. He could not recall how enemies should be killed. And so as Israel marched on Syria, the Bible says and declares that that day Israel defeated Ben-Hadad and his army. Interestingly enough, the prophets came back to Ahab, and they said to Ahab, we know how the devil works. Listen up, folk. You have defeated him once. He's going to come again. And if you are going to be honest this morning, you will testify that's how the devil works. If he comes once and he loses, he is going to come again. And so the prophet said, next spring, he's going to come back. And the reason he's going to come back, he tells us now, as we read in the scripture, because Ben-Hadad and his men thought that the reason they lost, listen, folk, the reason they lost to Israel is because Israel was fighting on the hills. We can say Israel was on the mountain. Spiritually speaking, when we are on the mountain, it's hard for Satan to gain the upper hand. When we are right with God, when we are reading his word, worshiping, living right, we are tight. It's hard for Satan to gain the upper hand. And so they believe that because Israel fought on the hills, that's why they lost. Well, I'm going to make 3 points today. And the first of my 3 points is this. Ben-Hadad and his men made a dangerous assumption. Ben-Hadad and his men, his army, made a dangerous assumption. They assume that the God of Israel is limited to the hills. Their gods are gods of the hills. 1 Kings 20:23. It's a dangerous assumption, the God of the hills. You see, in that assumption, the prevailing belief of the day is that the gods, not capital G, common G, were localized deities. You had the God of water, you had the God of stone, you had the God of the hills, you had the God of the valleys. They were localized deities. These gods had limitations. Localized deities. And sometimes in the Christian's walk, we may not subscribe to God being limited, but yet in our thinking and even in our behavior, sometimes we see God as God of the past and not God of the present. My brothers and sisters, what he was able to do before, he can do it again. I love the song of Shirley Caesar. He'll do it again. The God we serve is not only a God of the past, he is also a God of the present. That's the God we serve. The God we serve is not only a God of a certain kind of trial, he is a God of any kind of trial. He's not just a God when we are in a particular place. How do I know this? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Jonah was in the valley of the sea, praying from the belly of a fish. And way down there, inasmuch as Jonah was in the valley because of his own disobedience, God still heard his prayer. God can have victories on the hills, on the mountains, and he can have victories in the valley. God is not only the God of the hills, but he's God of the valley. A dangerous assumption Ben-Hadad made. Elijah, a man of God, unfortunately, made the same assumption. On Mount Carmel, Elijah called upon the God he knew to send down fire and consume the sacrifice to show the false prophets that their God Baal was no match for the God of Israel. And God gave Elijah a great victory that day on the hills of Mount Carmel. And this very Elijah found himself after being threatened by Jezebel. She said, Elijah, because of what you did to my prophets, killing 450 of them, I'm going to get you. And this man, Elijah, God's prophet, who was so powerful on the mount was now in the valley of despair. He was in a cave hiding from Jezebel. And God had to remind Elijah, don't make the assumption, Elijah, that I'm only the God on the hills. I'm also the God in this cave. And Elijah famished until he was awoken by an angel and asked the question, what in the world are you doing here? And when he opened his eyes, there he was with food, bread, and water given to him. In the valley of despair, God can still find you there and give provisions. They made a dangerous assumption. And the assumption they made is that God was God only of the hills, but if they engage Israel in the valley, they would have the upper hand. That's what they thought. So when they thought it, God had to make a dynamic announcement. My second point. First point, not only was there a dangerous assumption, and we need to be very careful of the assumptions we make about God. God had to make a dynamic announcement. The word says the man of God came up and told the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says, because the Arameans think the Lord is a God of the hills and not a God of the valleys, I will deliver this vast army into your hands. And you will know that I am the Lord. God made the announcement because there was a dangerous assumption. What is your dangerous assumption that God now has to give a dynamic announcement? Satan, you see, he wants us in the valley, but that's all right with God. Let me say again, Satan may think he has the upper hand in the valley and he wants us in the valley, but that's all right with God. When you may be in the valley of physical pain, please know that he is still God. He is still God. Whatever you may be going through, you may be experiencing something. You're taking test after test after test, and they can't figure out what is wrong. You know what you're feeling. And you may be even thinking, God, why is it they cannot come up with a diagnosis? God wants to remind us of this announcement. He is still God, even when we are in the valley of uncertainty as it relates to our health. I remember talking with my late sister, Willetta. And they were running some tests. As a nurse, she told me one day her chart board, her clipboard fell, and she couldn't pick it up. And she realized her fingers could not grab stuff. Subsequently, she found out she could not button her shirt, and she started taking test after test after test. Eventually, they said to her, you may have lupus. You have an autoimmune disease. Autoimmune, which means they don't know what's wrong. Something is wrong. They don't know. And if this is your situation, where you're dealing with something and you are physically in pain and you are being challenged, it may not be a physical challenge, it may be a mental health issue, you're being challenged, I want to remind you today that God's announcement is that He is not only a God when you're doing well, but He is God even when your body is not functioning the way you would want it to. And sometimes illness leads to death, and death leads to sorrow. I recall being there with the family, the hospital, and I recall us being in the room, and they came and said, you better come now. We went back to the room, and she had taken her last breath. And I recall her friend Cynthia. This was a sorrowful time. My sister had a very good friend, Cynthia. I'm talking about my sister Willetta, the eighth child, the one who followed me. I'm the seventh child. So you knew we did some mischievous things as children and teenagers. And she'd expired, and Cynthia, watch how Cynthia carefully wrapped her face, prepared her body. And when they came to put the body bag in, for some reason, I stood there and I wanted to zip it up. It was a very sorrowful time for me. And I had to be reminded that the God who stood with me in times of happiness is the same God who's there with me in sorrow. I know this is not a good time for you, Sister Lou. I know this is not a good time for you, Carol. I know this is not a good time for you, Kyra. I know this is not a good time for you, Keisha. I know this is not a good time for family members who have lost loved ones. In times of sorrow, I want to remind us that the God we serve is still God, even amidst sorrow. Friday was the birthday of my friend Renee. Donald, I know this is not a good time for you. Let me remind you, my friend, and let me remind all others who are dealing with death, whether brought on by COVID or other means, whether you're dealing with some difficulty, the God of the hills is also God of the valley. Regardless of the valley we find ourselves in, we will discover that He is still God. Still God. Romans 8:28 says to us, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It's a hard text to accept when your heart is in pain, but God's word is sure, because death is followed by the resurrection. That's why Paul says, for even as we sorrow, let us not sorrow as those without hope. Last Wednesday, my cousins, Lorraine, Linda, and James, laid to rest their mother, Lucy Liverpool, who unfortunately caught COVID in a rehab and died. I want to remind us all today that the God of the hills is also God of the valleys. Isaiah the prophet, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Because God, knows how to walk in fire. You don't believe me? Go read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a furnace, in flames. But the God had not abandoned them. He was in the furnace. And I don't care how hot it gets, what's going on in your life, if Jesus is with you, you're going to be all right. Whatever your challenges today, don't make that dangerous assumption that God is only God of the hills. Because God will have to make a dynamic announcement that He is God even of the valleys. And finally, a divine accomplishment. A divine accomplishment. You can trust God. The word says, for 7 days, they camped opposite each other, and on the 7th day, the battle was joined. The Israelites inflicted. That's a nice word. It means that they defeated 100,000 casualties of Aramean soldiers that they were killed in 1 day. Ben-Hadad, wonderful story, how he ended up and what, as a result, he was not punished as he should have been. That's another message. But today, Ben-Hadad understood that the God of Israel is not a God to mess with, because there is going to be a divine accomplishment. If you make a disturbing assumption that the God of Israel is only localized and can only fight in a particular place, God will make a dynamic announcement. And that announcement is, I will defeat the enemy on the hill or in the valley. There was a Philistine who thought he was strong, who thought he was mighty. And he challenged Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. And God sent a teenager who understood that if God can give him the victory over a lion and a bear, God can take down a giant. So today, my friends, what kind of dangerous assumptions are you making about the God you serve? Are you saying that His hands are short? Are you saying that He's limited? Are you saying that He's a God of the past and not of the present? If that's the case, God wants to remind us that there is nothing too hard for Him. Whatever your valley, is it the valley of want? Cannot pay your bills? Hey, God got news for you. He said He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. There He is. He knows how to take a widow's mite and make it work. He knows how to take a little bit of oil and flour. Whatever your situation, if it's the valley of despair and depression, God is with you, and God says there is nothing too hard for Him to do. Sad to say, Ben-Hadad and his men didn't understand that the God of Israel is not a localized God. It's not a God that who could only be in one place at one time and who could only give victories in times past. That God is here today. He's here today. He is God of the hills and God of not despair, my friends. We don't know what this week will bring to us. Will one among us fall? Would one succumb to COVID? We don't know what this week will bring. Would someone get news? Your job is gone? I am saying whatever it is, be assured that the God you worship, the God we serve, is not only God of the hills, but He is also God of the valleys.